to another episode of my podcast. Thank you so much for listening, and I pray and hope that you are well wherever you are in Jesus' name. So my last episode, I talked about music, worship, and you, and that was part two. So I'm going to continue with part three of music, worship, and you. And I'm going to start with the genesis of music. So the scriptural passages of Genesis chapter 1, verses 1 through 5, they proclaim God's majestic and sovereign power of bringing the chaotic cosmos into proper order and operation. So these verses sing the praises of the power of God and all that He creates. And creation depends on God for its existence. And the unrivaled power of the Spirit of God brings divine order out of chaos. And God masterfully guides the function of the cosmos just as it was designed to function. And in verse 4, he calls it good. So before God created man in His own image, He created a countless company of angels. In Colossians chapter 1 and verse 16, Paul states, "For by Him were all things created that are in the heaven and that are in the earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by Him and for Him." Psalm 148 verses 2 and 5 says, "Praise ye Him, all His angels. Praise ye Him, all His hosts. Let them praise the name of the Lord, for He commanded, and they were created." In Job chapter 38, verses 4 and 7, the Lord spoke to Job from the whirlwind regarding the creation of the world, and He asked Job, "Where were you when the morning stars sang together and all the sons of God shouted for joy?" So the Bible clearly teaches the creation and existence of angels that belong to God's heavenly court and service. So the Word of God talks about three powerful archangels which have access to God's throne room. So the first is Michael, and the second is Gabriel, and the third is Lucifer. So Michael is the chief archangel, and he's in Daniel chapter 10 and verse 13. Gabriel is in Daniel chapter 8 and verse 16, and Lucifer is in Isaiah chapter 14 verses 12 through 15, and Ezekiel chapter 28 verses 12 through 17. So Ezekiel chapter 28 and verse 13 and Isaiah chapter 14 and verse 11 describe Lucifer. So Lucifer possessed beauty, wisdom, and power. He was given abundant authority. He possessed great musical ability, and his central being is music. So in the book of Ezekiel, there are terms that describe Lucifer, such as percussion, wind, and string. And he was an anointed archangel created to blend and generate beautiful music, beautiful tones and pitches. But Lucifer led a rebellion in heaven, but it didn't work. He desired the worship of heaven, all of heaven that was created solely for God alone. He became inflated with pride, and he wanted the emphasis of the musical worship to be focused on him. He wanted all the attention. So Almighty God cast him out of heaven. Luke chapter 10, verse 18, Revelation chapter 12, verses 4 and 9. And I'm going to give you a lot of scripture. I'm not going to quote most of them. I'm just going to reference them. I just hope that you look them up and study them for yourselves. So Almighty God cast him out of heaven. Why? Because God doesn't share His glory, or He doesn't give it to another. Isaiah chapter 42 and verse 8. And the prophecies of Isaiah and Ezekiel, they describe Lucifer's fall. So despite losing his leadership position in heaven, Lucifer did not lose his musical ability. And ever since his fall, he's been trying to divert worship from God through the avenue of music. And I believe that struggle and that fight continues to this day. I believe that. And we need to note the original design and the purpose for music. Colossians chapter 1 and verse 16 and Revelation chapter 4 and verse 11 say that music was created for God alone. Worship is the beautiful activity of heaven through which numerous angels glorify and magnify Almighty God. For example, in Isaiah chapter 6 and verse 3, Isaiah's vision of heavenly seraphims crying, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory." So God created a majestic, beautiful world, beginning with angels, that would continually praise and worship him. Yet God desired to create a human being in his own image who would worship him of his own free will. So God created humanity with an eternal soul, giving him or her the ability to make choices and express emotions through various means, including music. Of all of God's perfect creation, man should be the first, we should be the first in praise and worship unto Almighty God. God's principles will never change, nor will he ever change. Malachi chapter 3 and verse 6. He does not change, for he's a jealous God, and God will not share his glory or worship with another. Since the original heavenly design for music was worship, it is safe to believe it is still God's purpose for today. So regardless of how times change, regardless of how music genres morph, regardless of how society progresses, Jesus Christ, the one true and only God, should be at the very core and center of our daily worship, especially through the avenue of music. It does matter what you listen to because it affects your brain. It affects your spiritual walk with God. And if we're not cautious, we may find ourselves swayed by some wind of doctrine that is in conflict with divine truth. Amen. We must be on guard every day to protect our spiritual sensitivity by listening only to those things that are truly uplifting, that are anointed, that is doctrinally pure. Because the Apostle Paul advised the early church to prove all things, hold fast that which is good. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 21. So it does matter what you listen to, because it involves our minds and our thought life. Worshiping in spirit and in truth is the spiritual spark that makes you think on things that are pure, lovely, and good. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 8. And we should not isolate ourselves from pop culture. We shouldn't quarantine ourselves, if I can use that word. We shouldn't be hermits and recluses. You know what I mean? Rather, we should live holy lives by separating ourselves from worldly lifestyles and worldly music. God calls us to be separate. He doesn't call us to isolate ourselves, because if we isolate ourselves and hide our lamps or our lights under bushels, we can't evangelize the world. We can't tell others of the goodness of Jesus Christ and of his mercy and his grace and his love. We live in this world, but we are not of this world. And if we live with an attitude of worship unto God, others, our neighbors, our co-workers, will sense the presence of God around you, around me. Amen. Amen. So the definition of worship means a feeling or expression of reverence and adoration for a deity. So in other words, worship is an act of respect and reverence to God, and we give God glory and honor because he is worthy of our praise. We worship God because we love him. And worship puts the emphasis on God's worthiness and glory and power and goodness and mercy. Worship unto God focuses on his power, his greatness, his mighty acts. And daily worship and praise unto God keeps the priorities of life in proper order. And while we magnify him for saving us and redeeming us, we worship and glorify him for who he is. And true worship of God can only come from a covenant relationship, a knowing relationship. True worship is the exaltation of Jesus Christ, for he is God manifest in the flesh. Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 6, 1 Timothy 3:16. And the precious blood of Jesus Christ paid the price for our redemption, and the plan of salvation is only found in Acts 2:38. The one true God, Jesus Christ, deserves and desires our devotion and our worship. Amen. And the results of worship? Well, worship changes you. Worship changes me. And living with an attitude of worship unto God will change our thinking. Amen. Worship keeps you repentant. It keeps me repentant. It keeps our motives for worshiping. It keeps our motives for pure worship, pure honesty, and things that are holy. Amen. And I believe spiritual disciplines are absolutely necessary to keep ourselves pure and unspotted from sin and this world. And the Word of God exhorts us to grow spiritually every day. The Apostle Paul says in 2 Corinthians chapter 7 and verse 1, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. And as we daily worship Jesus Christ, his holiness illuminates our lives and convicts us in areas and where we need to make improvements. I know I need to make improvements every day. Amen. And worship changes your spiritual desire, your spiritual diet, if I can say that. So, listening to godly music is important. Listen to godly music as much as you want. Don't listen to any ungodly music, if it's all possible. Be spiritually moderate about the genres of music and how much neutral music you listen to. If we are consistently listening to ungodly or worldly music, our mind and thought life will not align with the instructions given by Paul in Philippians chapter 4 and verse 8. And our worship will be tainted. But when we communicate to God through the avenues of godly, anointed music, we will know and recognize his voice and feel the leading of his spirit. Jesus said in John chapter 10 and verse 27, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. So even today, Lucifer or Satan desires our total worship. He does desire it. So it's reasonable to believe that he will use the power of music to draw you away from your worship, to the one true God, Jesus Christ. When you fill your mind, or another word for mind is thought life, or our heart. When we fill our heart and thought life with worldly music and allow those poisonous words to come out, it goes into our minds and it affects us. And when we do that, we're giving Lucifer or Satan the musical worship that he craves. It does matter what you listen to, regardless of the genre or style of music. It matters. So yes, music is powerful. Music is spiritual. It's one of the most beautiful things in the world. It stirs our every emotion. It builds our faith. But we need to strive for balance when listening to music. And it's always a good idea to have the Word of God as our guide. In other words, make sure that the music that we listen to aligns with His Word. Well, we should not immediately assume. I know that not all music is bad and not all music is terrible. But we should be aware that there is some music that is extremely destructive to our souls. There are sound biblical parameters. That's what I'm looking for. There are parameters found in the Word of God when it comes to music, when it comes to worship, and when it comes to you. Only through heartfelt worship and obedience to God's Word, being born again in truth and staying Spirit-filled every day, will keep our lives centered on Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ, the Almighty God of heaven and earth, does not tolerate idolatry. He doesn't. As a matter of fact, I preached a message at our church this past Sunday on idolatry. He does not tolerate idolatry. Jesus deserves to be loved from a pure heart. And the powerfully written Word of God indicates that all He desires is for someone who will be true to Him in worship, including their choice of music. Amen. Worship unto God should never be a careless practice. It should never be flippant. It should be reverence. I hope I make sense. God desires a place to dwell, namely us in our bodies. However, He will only dwell there if we maintain a holy place for Him to live. That's why we need to pray every day. We need to repent every day. And when He fills you with His Spirit, when He indwells you with His Spirit, His Holy Spirit, the literal Spirit of God, Jesus Christ, His Spirit, it provides the power to live a victorious lifestyle of worship in an evil, toxic culture. And we should protect the holy presence of God by living an overcoming lifestyle. Amen. So, I leave you with some questions. Question number one, does what I listen to bring honor to God? Question number two, does my playlist draw me closer to God, or does it draw me toward this worldly culture? Question number three, does my personal choice of music merely satisfy my fleshly affections? Number four, what does the meaning of God's reference to His being jealous mean to me? Question number five, how can I bring balance to my choice of music? What will be the result when there is balance in my choice of music? Question number six, is my music competing with Jesus Christ? How much time is being spent on listening to music? Could that time be allotted to prayer and reading the Bible? These are important questions. Thank you so much for listening. Thank you so much. I greatly appreciate it. Until next time, be blessed and stay healthy.